Life is full of adventures in the shape of places, people, and experiences. And in retirement, it's your turn to choose what those adventures look like. Whether you want to travel, fish, hit the beach, or see grandkids, it's important to take time to connect to your dreams for retirement. Welcome to the Delaware Retirement Connection with your host, Len. As a certified life coach and certified financial planner, Lynn combines life coaching and financial advisory skills to help retirees identify and fund their life goals, hopes, and dreams to make their retirement as amazing as they want it to be. Now, here's Lynn.
Welcome and thank you for listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. I am your host, Lynn, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We're going to be talking today about the pet connection, the pet owner connection, and the connection that pet lovers share. And I'm here with my wife, Joyce. Hi, sweetie. How are you doing today?
Hi. Nice to be with you again.
Well, we're going to be talking about one of our very cherished subjects that we've talked about over the years about our dog. And I think we're particularly qualified to talk about the connection between owners and pets, given our relationship with a special creature in our life. Any idea who we're talking about?
Our one and only Spike.
Spike, our dog of 12 years. So, Joyce, talk a little bit about your memories of Spike and what he's meant to you, our family, and how that all tied together for us.
Well, I have to say that when we first talked about a dog, I was not on the bandwagon. And I really thought that Len would be on my side. But somehow the kids and him were all against me. And
that's not exactly true, but that's what you felt.
That's how I felt.
Okay, all right. So let me talk about my version of the story. So we have four children, and when our children were ages about 10 to 4, our oldest son, Dan, had a friend, Sam, and Sam's mother raised Chihuahuas. And somehow Dan came to the conclusion that when they would have puppies, that one of them would be ours. Do you remember that, Joyce?
Yes.
Yes.
I do.
Yeah. And somehow that was ingrained in Dan's head. And I didn't really think we could handle having a dog. But I also wanted our children not to go through life saying, well, I had a wonderful childhood and wonderful life, but I never had a dog. Mom and Dad never got me a dog. So I suggested that Dan talk to my brother. I don't know if you remember this part of the conversation.
I do.
And I told my brother that Dan's going to talk to him about having a dog. And I thought George would be on my side and he would say, hey, Dan, you know, it's a big responsibility. And do you remember what George said?
Great. He was so excited for us to get a dog.
He was like, well, that's a great idea. That is so awesome. It's going to teach you responsibility and all that kind of stuff. And we had children ages 10 to 2 and 10 to 4, rather. And but, you know, somehow that responsibility to children didn't translate as much as it did to responsibility for you and me. And when I say you and me, I mean more for you. So
exactly.
So, but we did enjoy the time with Spike. So, talk a little bit about what your transformation was from the time you saw Spike. And I should probably say, you know, when I saw Spike, he was such a sweet little dog. He's a miniature pincher, a minpin, and his colorings weren't the typical dark brown, I should say, almost really like a black and like a brown. It was a chocolate. It was a chocolate covered,
yes,
colored miniature pincher. And so I saw him. He was actually just an adorable little dog. But Joyce, talk a little bit about, you know, how did your heart transform in the time that Spike was part of our family?
Well, I recall seeing this cute little dog with his little floppy ears, because we didn't crop his ears. We let them stay floppy, but his tail was already cropped. So it was like a cute little wiggle in the back.
Little nub.
A little nub. But he really was a cute little thing. And I'm going to back up a minute, because initially Dan was going to get a baby Chihuahua. And what happened was that was the runt of the litter and he didn't make it. So with all the tears, we all went together to the puppy store and all of the kids were just so excited to see all the dogs in there. But this one in particular was just like jumping up and ready to meet his whole family. And I think he won their hearts right from the very beginning. And like I said, not mine at the beginning because, you know, I knew the responsibility was going to come to me. But as each of the kids grew up, my responsibility with Spike, you know, and it ended up being a time, you know, where I could just enjoy him. And so I guess I did grow to love that little dog, even though at the beginning I may have been hesitant. And I'm probably the one that took the most pictures of him as well. We named Spike Spike because we bought him a spiked collar. And I guess that looking tough had to have a tough name. So that's why we named him Spike.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because he weighed about like 12 pounds. True. You know? So we had this dog Spike. Yeah, and dog Spike people thought would be like a big, you know, bulldog kind of animal or, you know, a rough, tough dog. But he was just a small little lap dog, Spike. Yeah, it meant a lot to us. And of course, talk a little bit about, you know, when we lost Spike. But I'd like to talk a little bit about some of my fond memories of Spike. And, you know, everyone has their fond memories of their dog, but I'm bragging. Spike was really one of the cutest dogs in the world. And he had a certain prance about him. He would just kind of like just sort of have this air about him that if he was trained, he could probably win some kind of prize in a dog show. But he had a sort of an air about him that was fun. But one thing about Spike is that he did not know how to play fetch. And, you know, as much as the dogs wanted to play fetch, it was more like, you know, our kids would throw something, they would have to go back and get it themselves. They would play fetch themselves. And somehow, Spike just didn't get a hold of knowing how to play fetch.
Nope, he didn't.
Yeah. So the other thing that I remember is that Spike was a tiny little dog, and he thought he was a big, bad dog.
Oh, yes.
And when, you know, when we would have people coming by our door, other dogs, especially Murph, remember Murph?
Yes. He would be across the street and...
Like how far away? How far away would you say? 100 feet. 100 feet, right?
But I don't know. What is it about dogs that they sense when another dog's coming and he is like jumping up that window, looking at him and barking like he was going to just swallow him up. And Murph would just take a look at him and says, oh, him again, and just keep on walking.
until the day they met, and, you know, Spike really wasn't really too much of a socialized dog. And so we had Spike meet Murph. And you know, Spike barked a good game, but he didn't deliver a big game. And so he's barking, and then Murph would come to him, and he would be like a little scaredy cat. He turned to a little scaredy cat, and that was Spike. You know, it was really all bark, no bite, but that was Spike. How do you think our children grew as people, as responsible people through our dog?
Well, each one of them really found Spike to be a companion whenever they needed someone. And Ben was the last of them all. And he just, you know, would have him come sleep in his room. And he definitely got spoiled with that. But I think each of the kids just really found a companion that they could just love on and didn't have anything to talk back or any confusion, but just was so happy to see them when they got home from school. And I think it just really enriched their life. And anytime you see a dog, I think they still think of Spike and, just still want to connect with the dogs that they may see passing them in the road and just stop for that connection.
And of course, you know, having to put Spike down where he, at a stage of his life, got into something he shouldn't have eaten and really was a problem. Really one of a very, very sad day. But now we are empty nesters and approaching our retirement, and the children and the family dynamic related to pets don't really play into having a pet. It's really, do we want to have a pet? And right now, our responsibility of having a dog doesn't fit into our dynamic. And of course, I'm allergic to cats. But how could you see having a dog perhaps playing out later in our lives? Now, I am not petitioning for a dog. That's not where I am right now. But how do you see a dog fitting into our lives? Do you see a dog fitting into our lives maybe sometime down the road?
Well, I think each of our kids are going to want a dog. And so I'm sure the dog will come and we will pet sit before we will babysit. And I think that's kind of how I probably see it playing out in my life. And we really haven't had too many friends that have asked us to, like, maybe dog sit, especially where we're at now. But that's probably how I see where a dog will fit in our lives, is watching them for our kids.
Watch our kids. So you don't see owning a dog down the road when we're maybe needing someone to stay in our lap or something like that. When
at least right now, I don't.
That's a long way off. But if we were to get a dog, and I'm not politicking for a dog, what kind of dog do you think you'd like to get?
I think I would like a small dog, one that doesn't shed, because I know you're allergic to the hair. I haven't really thought about it, but something small.
Something small, something that you don't have to walk too far, and something that doesn't eat too much, and you don't need to clean up such big areas for, yeah. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection with your host, Len. We're talking about pet ownership and that pet owner connection, the pet lovers relationship that pet owners share. We'll be talking to the Delaware Humane Association in our next segment, and we'll be talking about that very special connection that pet owners share with their animals and how people here in coastal Delaware can be a little bit more connected to animals and the community without necessarily owning a pet. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening.
It's easy for the markets to throw our retirement portfolio off kilter, but with a little guidance, we can get things back on track. Len is here to help. Give him a call today at 302-501-7711.
What will your retirement look like? Will your schedule be filled with things to keep you busy? Or will you be doing things you find truly meaningful and pursuing your life goals, hopes, and dreams? Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, can help you make your retirement as amazing as you want it to be. Len's Maximizing Your Retirement Workbook will help you think through who you really are and want to become in retirement, and what activities give you fulfillment. To get a free copy of this workbook, call 302-501-7711. Our most precious resource is the one we don't get back, time. So make sure you are using yours wisely. This Maximizing Your Retirement Workbook can help you determine what's really important to you and show you how to align your money with those things in life that give you the most enjoyment. Get this free resource from Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, by calling 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. That's 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC-registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
Welcome back to the Delaware Retiree Connection with your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. It's my privilege to have with me Lee Dempsey, the director of the Rehoboth Center for the Delaware Humane Association, and Daniel Cardellucci Smith, director of philanthropy for DHA. Thank you so much for joining us, folks, and I'm looking forward to getting a chance to know a little more about you and sharing a little bit with our listeners about the very important work that DHA is doing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
So one thing that I think a lot of folks that are maybe particularly new to the Rehoboth area and to the coastal Delaware area might not be too familiar with the Delaware Humane Association. Tell our listeners a little bit about DHA and a little bit about your mission. I did do some research, and I see that your mission is to make friends for life by connecting people with animals and by building strong relationships to better serve our community. So talk a little bit about DHA and a little bit about your mission, please.
Absolutely. So we are a dog and cat adoption center. We have locations both down here in Rehoboth, and our main campus is up in Wilmington, so in the northern part of the state. Down here in Rehoboth, we are strictly an adoption center. So people can come in, meet dogs and cats for adoption, and potentially bring them home that day if we find the right match. One thing that we pride ourselves on is making matches. It's very important to make sure we're setting up the household with an animal that matches the lifestyle, the energy, the age, the size, with the right family for them. So we do a matchmaking process prior to all of our adoptions. And, we have a pretty good success rate of keeping animals in homes. And that's something we're very proud of.
Well, I really appreciate that. You're not just trying to get rid of pets to get them outside of your domain. You really want to be a lifelong relationship between the pet owner and the pet. So really thank you for that. Tell us a little bit about the extent of the reach and the operation of DHA. I think our listeners will be very surprised how many families and how many animals you impact.
Sure. Well, like I mentioned, we do have two locations. Our Wilmington location has the capacity to hold 50 dogs and 100 cats. Down here in Rehoboth, we are a smaller facility, but we can house 19 dogs and 22 cats. So combining the both, we're almost 70 dogs and 122 cats that we have in our facility at any given time, just waiting to go home.
So that really just talks about the animals you have in-house. But talk a little bit more about how many animals will you place in the course of a year or a month? How many employees do you have? How many volunteers do you have? So just talk about the pervasiveness of your organization. That would be really fascinating.
Sure. So on average, of course, every year is different, especially the past 2 years. But on average, we adopt out around 2,000 animals total. Our adopters come from not just Delaware, but the surrounding states as well: Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia. And so we pull our animals mostly from the south, from overcrowded shelters, and bring them up, have a vet check, make sure they are healthy and behaviorally sound to be adopted out into a home. And then, like I said, people come from all over to adopt our animals. In terms of employees, we're at about 45 employees, and that's both full and part-time employees in both locations. From a volunteer perspective, I would say active volunteers anywhere from 60 to 100 really throughout the year. And we rely on our volunteers a lot for their support, both in-house and also at off-site events.
It's an extraordinary big impact on a community. The expenses you have must be inordinate. Are you able to share with us what your budget is? How much do you spend on your expenses? How much do you need to raise?
Sure. Currently, our expenses are about $2.2 million per year.
Wow. That is just shocking. $2.2 million. How do you go about raising those funds? Because I understand that you do not accept government funding. Is that correct? And why don't you do that? And how do you go about raising such an enormous amount of money to provide all the good work you do for families and pets?
Sure. That is correct. We don't currently have any government funding. We're funded almost exclusively by donors, individual donors, just like you or me. We get a few grants from PetSmart and other local foundations, but in general, it's just the good people in our community who are giving us funding.
Now, I'm also going to assume, and I'll say, I know it's true, but, you know, when people adopt a pet, there are some charges, some costs associated with that. So you raise some money from that, but that must be a relatively small part of your funding. The big part of your funding is people just being generous and saying, I want to donate to this cause. Is that correct?
Yeah, we certainly have the earned income from adoptions, but a good portion of our budget is funding by donations.
So someone's listening to our program and they maybe just are hearing about the DHA for the first time and something strikes their interest. What are some volunteer opportunities for folks? And if someone wanted to donate money or bequeath money, how would they go about doing that?
From a volunteer perspective, we have opportunities throughout the house, if you will. Everything from walking the dogs or playing with the cats to some of the more mundane tasks like washing dishes or helping with the laundry that inevitably piles up. But we do have some fun events throughout the year, both on site and off site, that we ask our volunteers to participate in and represent the DHA at those different events, whether it's through talking to people or handing out flyers, walking in parades. I mean, we try to get out into the community as much as we can and keep it interesting for our volunteers so that they don't feel like the only thing they're doing here is, you know, washing dishes. We want them to be engaged and having fun and enjoying their time that they spend with us and the animals.
Daniel, please talk a little bit about the idea of donations, bequeathing assets. How can people connect their assets with this important cause for folks who see value in it?
Sure. There are a lot of ways to donate. I can be contacted easily at daniel@delawarehumane.org. But visiting our website, people can make donations online, via the email. For bequests, you asked about that. We receive a lot of money in bequests every year, and we're very fortunate to have that. It's a great kind of testament to the work that we do to have so many people who believe in us and leave their legacy at DHA. Often people think that you need to be wealthy to be able to leave something in your will, and that's not necessarily the case. We receive gifts in estates from very small amounts to just a few thousand dollars to we received one a couple of years ago that was $1 million. So it just really varies, and there are a lot of different ways that people can give. They can do it most simply through naming us a beneficiary on an insurance policy or an investment account, or they can get more detailed into trusts and things like that as well. So there are a lot of ways that people can give and bequest, and we would recommend working closely with us just to make sure that we can do what the donor intends, and also working with kind of your attorney, your financial advisor, to make the decisions that are best for you.
A lot of things to talk about, which we'll talk a little bit in our, a little later in our program. I did want to ask you the uniqueness of Delaware for the work you do. Talk a little bit about what makes Delaware unique for the kind of work that DHA does.
So Delaware is a very tight-knit community. We're a small state, and it's, you know, everybody kind of knows each other. And those relationships, I think, are what make Delaware special. Because it's very easy to just call on someone you know and accomplish things. That even goes down to, I mean, you see politicians in coffee shops and your local gym, and that doesn't always happen in other states and in bigger states. So we're really special in that way, and I think that's really why DHA is able to do their mission the way that we are, is because we are just so connected to the community and really leverage it.
So how could someone contact you? What's the best way to get a hold of you folks?
The best way to contact us is through our website. We have all of our contact information there for both our Wilmington and Rehoboth locations. We're on all over social media, and we really value the personal touch. So it's not difficult at all to get a hold of our executive director, director of philanthropy, Lee at the Rehoboth Center. We really try to keep it personal and just easy for people to reach.
And our website is thedelawarehumane.org.
Well, thanks so much for that information. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection with your host, Len. I'm talking to Lee Dempsey and Daniel Cartolucci Smith from the Delaware Humane Association. We'll be right back after a short break. Thanks for listening.
Feel like life's got you on the back foot? A little help with financial positioning from a professional can go a long way to help you set up for the retirement you've been dreaming of. If you'd like some help, give Len a call at 302-501-7711.
Remember that first paycheck when you started working all those years ago? You were finally out on your own earning money. You looked at the net amount and thought, whoa, what happened here? It could be this way with your retirement accounts. You know how much you've saved, but if you haven't planned for Uncle Sam, you could come up short in retirement. With tax laws constantly changing, there's a lot you need to know to make sure you're not paying more than your fair share. Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, can help. He's been helping families just like yours plan for retirement for more than 30 years. Len will help you create a retirement plan that shows you how taxes could affect you now and in the future. Set up a visit with Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, by calling 302-501-7711. That's 302-501-7711. Make sure you know how these changes could affect you so you can avoid those whoa moments in retirement. Call 302-501-7711. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC and SEC Registered Advisory Firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
We're back, the Delaware Retiree Connection with Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. I'm here with two representatives for the Delaware Humane Association, Lee Dempsey, who's the director of the Rehoboth Center, and Daniel Cartolucci Smith, the director of philanthropy. We're talking about pets, and we're talking about not just pets, but the connection that pets have with owners and owners have with each other through their animals. And I just want to try and tap into that a little bit with you folks. Why do you think there is such a connection between owners and their pets? And how do you explain this to someone who doesn't have a pet and just kind of doesn't get it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think you can go so many different directions with that question, to be honest with you. But the connection between owners and their pets runs deep. And sometimes people will describe it as, you know, I knew it when I saw this animal that they were the one for me, or that this animal came right up to me and chose me. And so it's almost immediate that a bond is formed with an animal that you bring home. Sometimes people will say that, you know, the animal is so thankful that that they're in a home now. And that may be true, of course. But generally, you know, we think that the care that a human gives to an animal and then the unconditional love that the animal gives back just makes that bond unbreakable. And, you know, we rely on our animals almost as much as they rely on us as we go through different chapters of our lives. And so year after year, that bond just becomes stronger and stronger. Now, how do you explain this to someone who does not have a pet? That's pretty hard to do. You know, you can show them movies or different commercials, but I think until you meet an animal that you love and that loves you back, it's probably not something that can really be explained to somebody until you feel it yourself.
Mm. And one thing that I think might be helpful is to maybe talk a little bit about how do pets just make the world a better place? And I think that might be helpful. I'd love to get both your feedback on that, both in terms of things like the service and the utilitarian value, as well as just that relationship. Maybe you can connect in a few of those areas and help people really open their eyes up to what this is all about. Because I think people who don't get it, it's like they don't understand that emotional connection between the owner and the animal. And it's sort of like a mechanical kind of a duty. So maybe talk a little bit about those aspects.
Sure. I mean, especially in modern times, I'd say in the past 20, 30 years even, we're really relying on pets to not only are they there with us more, they go on vacations with us, they go to, you know, families and friends' house. But like you mentioned, the service animals or therapy dogs, we've seen time and time again after some sort of devastation or tragedy that animals show up to help bring calm and peace to those affected by a certain situation, a negative situation, if you will, or even a stressful situation. There's lots of dogs that visit college campuses around final exam time, just so that students can come out and spend a half an hour in between their studies petting a dog, which helps bring their stress level down. And then not only that, there's lots of activities to do with our dogs besides just taking them on vacations. We can do all different types of training with them, from obedience training to more sport type training like agility or frisbee or dock diving, you know, which gets the human and the dog out of the house and communicating on a different level, which again just strengthens the bond between them. And I would say that most people you see with a dog, especially, or even a cat, although we don't see cats outside of the house as much, but anybody you see out with their dog has a big smile on their face, and that's pretty infectious, no matter who you are, pet lover or not.
Oh, that's really touching. Thanks for sharing. I want to ask, why do you to do what you do, Lee and Daniel? Why do you do the work you do? I mean, you can work a lot of different places. Why THA?
I think it all, I mean, all of these questions about the pet connection really comes down to love. There's, you know, for those of us who are animal lovers, there is a really special love between animals and people. I've adopted my pets from Delaware Humane Association before I worked here. And one of the pets that I still have with me is a little 10-pound miniature dachshund named Tucker. And that little guy, it doesn't matter if I'm out of the house for 10 seconds or 10 hours. He, coming home, he gives a parade and just runs around the house. And there's no better reception to coming home than seeing Tucker there. So that kind of, you know, we work at Delaware Humane, which it's nice having animals here, but it is a job. So we have stressful days like everyone. At the end of that stressful day, to be able to come home and see Tucker, in my case, that makes it all worth it. That's why I show up the next day and put in the work.
And I'll just add to that, you know, I did work in corporate America for a good number of years, and at some point just decided this was not the life for me. So what really drew me to not only working with animals, but DHA, my background is a trainer. So I'm a certified professional dog trainer, and that's where I started in this industry, in this world. But moving into the director position here, you know, it's like Daniel said, the job is stressful. We have some days that are heartbreaking, and we have many more days that are uplifting and joyful. But the looks on the animals' faces and the humans' faces when an adoption is completed and they're heading out the front door, which we always tell them, you know, they don't get to go out the front door until that big day, but the looks on their faces of joy and happiness just makes it all worth it. And that's enough to help you really get through those difficult moments in any job, but certainly in this one.
I think we did a great job capturing that owner and pet relationship, but talk a little bit about the connection between the volunteers and the employees and the people that are part of DHA.
Sure. Our volunteers especially are the reason why we are able to do what we do. Certainly our employees also, but really the love that the community gives us so generously really fills in the gaps a lot If we had to pay staff to do all of the stuff that volunteers do, I don't know how we would be able to operate. So they're kind of the backbone of our organization.
What does a typical volunteer look like?
Well, they are ready when called upon. But most of the time, you know, they're just animal lovers, or they want to be involved in the community and want to offer their time to give back to the community that they love.
We have a lot of folks listening to our program who are relatively new to the area. As we all know, many folks are moving to Delaware for many reasons. What would you say to those folks who are fairly new here and maybe just haven't connected to the area or haven't met as many people as they may have liked? How can they really connect to the area a little more through DHA? Talk to those folks who are looking for a little more meaningfulness in their life.
Well, I think, again, it goes back to the volunteer opportunities. We have people that are in here on a weekly basis, have a very regular schedule. You can sign up to come in at whatever time fits your schedule best. But coming in and just having those small conversations generally leads to additional opportunities, whether it's with DHA or another organization that folks volunteer with. So, like Daniel mentioned earlier, Delaware is such a small state. Everybody knows one another, and everybody really likes to be involved. And so I think you talk to the majority of our volunteers here, and they probably have some other things going on, whether that's luncheons or other organizations that they volunteer with or spend time with. So it's a great way to get to know people socially while also, you know, helping animals at the same time.
And I think it'll also be a great opportunity for folks who don't want to make the commitment to own a pet to have that connection with animals and either volunteering or even doing fostering. Talk a little bit about maybe the fostering opportunities.
Absolutely. Oh, we love giving the animals a chance to come out of the shelter for a couple of nights. We're trying to do more of that, especially around holidays or long weekends, to have fosters come in and take an animal home for a couple of nights, 2 to 4 nights, depending on what's going on and what the foster is looking for. But it's a great way, not only to give the animal a chance to take a breather from the shelter, but it also gives us a lot of great and helpful information about how an animal is in the home. And that's an important to be able to share that with potential adopters, because obviously an adopter wants to know, you know, is the dog housebroken? Is the cat litter trained? Is it friendly? Does it like to walk? Is it high energy or low energy? Does it want to sit on my lap and cuddle, or would it rather have its own space? And that's how we like to do our matchmaking process as well. So that information that we get from our fosters is really important, and it helps us make sure we're placing the animal ultimately in the home that's best suited for them.
Well, thanks, Lee. Thanks, Daniel. You're listening to the director of the Rehoboth Center for the Delaware Humane Association and the director of philanthropy. I want to thank you for taking some time and just talking about the important animal owner connection, the pet and owner connection, and how folks can really connect better to the Delaware area, particularly new folks who may be looking for opportunities to be better connected, to meet some people, and to pursue some of their passions. And for those folks who are animal lovers, I would very much encourage you to reach out to the Delaware Humane Association and make some friends and get a chance to know some animals. You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection with Len. We'll be right back after a short break. Thanks for listening.
It's easy for the markets to throw our retirement portfolio off kilter. But with a little guidance, we can get things back on track. Len is here to help. Give him a call today at 302-501-7711.
What will your retirement look like? Will your schedule be filled with things to keep you busy? Or will you be doing things you find truly meaningful and pursuing your life goals, hopes, and dreams? Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, can help you make your retirement as amazing as you want it to be. Len's Maximizing Your Retirement Workbook will help you think through who you really are and want to become in retirement, and what activities give you fulfillment. To get a free copy of this workbook, call 302 501-7711. Our most precious resource is the one we don't get back, time. So make sure you are using yours wisely. This Maximizing Your Retirement Workbook can help you determine what's really important to you and show you how to align your money with those things in life that give you the most enjoyment. Get this free resource from Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor, by calling 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. That's 302-501-7711 or go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com. Firm offers insurance services. Investment advisory services are offered through SGL Financial LLC, an SEC registered advisory firm.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection. If you like what you hear on today's show or have questions, drop by dedicatedfinancialservices.com or call 302-501-7711 to talk to Len.
You're listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection with your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We were talking today about the pet connection, the connection that pet owners have with their animals, and the connection that pet owners share. And folks who do life, who are involved in volunteering with organizations related to pets, and how that's a major connection point. And so what I want to just talk a little bit about is who you do life with and why, specifically with those outside your family, which for many is just a built-in relationship for those folks who are fortunate to have family members. Why do you do life with people you do life with? And there's probably many reasons for that. The top of the list would probably be because we just enjoy doing life with certain people. And that is... It's a very fine answer. I think it's a very important answer, but it's sort of a transient answer in a way, because that really talks about doing something at a specific time with specific individuals in a specific set of circumstances, which is somewhat fleeting. And when those dynamics change, we may not be enjoying life with those folks. Some folks might say, well, I just do life with folks in my proximity. I do life with my neighbors, people across the street. I belong to this organization. I go to church here, or I belong to a volunteer organization. And I do life with those folks that I just have a proximity to, and it's just more of a convenient type of relationship. And I think that's important, but that's also transient, because when those circumstances change, then you'll probably not do life with those people to the same degree, or maybe not at all. And we all know those relationships that have fallen by the wayside when we moved, or people moved away, or we got involved in different activities. So really, I think what we are looking at is we have relationships that are meaningful and lasting when we have a meaningful connection with individuals, when there's something that is deeper than the surface of life that will allow and continue to develop a relationship even when circumstances change and when it's difficult to maintain that relationship. And the things that I'm talking about are related to what I call the core soul needs that we all have, we all share as humans. We all have the need for an identity. We all have a need for a meaningful life purpose. We all have a need for peace. And we all have a need for love. And when we think about it, all these things are really very deep in our lives. We all need to be someone. And we all have a need to know who we are, and maybe what our purpose in life is. And that is the next core soul need, is actually that connection between the identity and life purpose, and what role we serve, and how we can integrate with life in this world. And from there, we maybe morph into a sense of love. We have that connection with the world, with people, because of a love, the love that we have for others, and that love that others have for us. And there's also related to that a sense of peace and contentment. So all these things tie together. And when we think of what our program was about today, about pets. Pets can have a very important, can fill a very important need for us related to our core soul needs. So when we have a pet, we have a dog or a cat or other animal, that is a sense of an identity. We are a dog owner. We're a cat owner or whatever other animal we own. That is an identifier of who we are. But it's really deeper than just owning a pet. It goes much more than that. It does create some responsibility. We care for this animal and we provide for this animal's needs. We, of course, feed the animal. We provide the animal sustenance. And there's some kind of a requirement on our part, something that is needed of us, something that we have to do to keep that pet alive and healthy. And so for many folks, that need to be needed is met by an animal, met by a pet, because obviously a pet in our civilized world would have a difficult time to survive. Domesticated animal would not be able to live without human assistance. So for many folks, there is that need of a life purpose, and so animals can provide that. But I want to talk a little bit about that sense of love, and it's kind of hard to talk about animals loving us, although because I don't understand the that whole emotion of being a pet. I'm not an animal. I don't know if dogs can love. They certainly do exhibit features of a concern and compassion for people. But what I'm really going to focus on is the love that people have for animals and that emotional bond that exists, which is critically important for people to have, and especially for folks who maybe are not experiencing it to a full level through their human connections. And it's particularly important role that an animal will fill. Beyond the potential utilitarian value of animals, animals do have the potential to provide a significant emotional connection and emotional need for folks. For their owners and people they come in contact with, which is essential for people. That's a core soul need. You're listening to Len, the host of Delaware Retiree Connection. I am the Delaware Retiree Advisor, and I'd like to offer you a resource we call Maximizing Your Retirement. It's a workbook available through Delaware Retiree and through DedicatedFinancialServices.com. Dedicated Financial Services is the name of my financial planning firm. And if you go to dedicatedfinancialservices.com and you click on resources, you'll find the Maximizing Your Retirement resource. That's a resource that helps you think about who you are as a person, helps you think about the facets of life that are of most interest or might be of most interest for you to pursue. That can include anything from health and wellness. It can include things like relationships. It can include such things as your spiritual life. So that's a resource that helps you think about who you are, what are the aspects of life you want to pursue or that are most important to you. When we combine that, that is your personhood, your unique individual that we all have. And then we also talk about the idea of life goals, hopes, and dreams. And we talk about finances, how finances can be connected with the facets of life to make life more enjoyable and more pleasurable for us. So let's talk a little bit about our resources as it's related to pets as part of our program. And so we have a resource of time, and I am not suggesting how people should use their time, but I will say that the whole area of pet connection is an extraordinary way to have connection with other folks. For many of our listeners who are relatively new to the coastal Delaware area and haven't been connected, I will say this, that when you meet a pet owner, you always have a source of connection through that pet. And if you have a pet of your own, that is a automatic connection. So for folks who don't have animals, that's a great way to meet other owners through pets. However, having a pet is a large responsibility that a lot of folks don't want to take on because it does take that commitment. So there are many ways to volunteer. The Delaware Humane Association has many volunteers that and many volunteer opportunities that allows individuals to connect with that organization and with other volunteers in meaningful ways for folks who have that connection with pets. We also have on the DelawareRetiree.com website a resource we call Connection Groups. And one of our connection groups is Pet Lovers. On that connection group, you're able to meet up and connect with other folks who share your interest in animals. We also want to talk about using your resources to meet your life goals, hopes, and dreams. Those things in life that are most important to you. Everyone has their own life goals, hopes, and dreams. That could deal with anything from things you want to still experience in your life. It may include things you may want to own. It may include having your assets mean something to other individuals because you left it to other individuals. But regardless of whether your life goals, hopes, and dreams require money or not, we do want to encourage you to use the Maximizing Your Retirement resource to help you think about what those life goals, hopes, and dreams are that you are pursuing that you will be really more fulfilled with if you do succeed and you meet these life goals, hopes, and dreams. And to what extent does money help you meet those objectives? For folks who have assets that they may not use in their lifetime, there's many uses for that as well. You can certainly leave that to loved ones, to heirs, to folks that have meant something to you for your life. Certainly if you have children, that would be an automatic place to leave your resources to. For folks who don't have children, distant family, nieces, nephews, is obviously a wonderful place to leave your assets. And of course, other closer family members, maybe brothers and sisters. Those are all wonderful places to leave resources to. But I do want to encourage individuals who don't have an immediate person who comes to mind where to leave their assets to really think about organizations that can benefit from that resource. There's many resources, and I would encourage you to think about your personhood, who you are. What are those things, what are those parts of your life that are meaningful to you? What are those parts of your life that you would like to extend your identity to and through with your resources, with your financial resources? And think about who you want to leave your assets to when you're no longer walking this earth. Many very, very worthy organizations that might touch your heart, that resonate with your values, resonate with what difference you want to make on this world. And so I do want to encourage our listeners to be more generous with your time and with your money and think maybe a little bit outside of yourself. And by doing so, that might, interestingly, help you meet your core soul needs of identity, life purpose, peace, and love. You've been listening to the Delaware Retiree Connection with your host, Len, the Delaware Retiree Advisor. We'll look forward to having you listen to us again next week.
Leonard P. Haydachuk is an investment advisor representative of SGL Financial LLC and offers insurance services through this SEC-registered firm. He also offers insurance products and services in Delaware as an individual licensed and appointed insurance agent through Dedicated Financial Services.